잘 만나 마도 봐 자연 군념이 Divine Grace, Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivinanda Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya Shilohidas Thakur Kijai, Paim Seko, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Shishi Radhakrishna Gopikopatna Sayam Kungada Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagadathasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Srimati Lalasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Purimananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bol, Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharani, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatari. So, omagana timirandasya gananjana shalakya chakshur unmeritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, we're going to continue with our study of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Last night we studied some of the works of Srila Rupa Goswami to show you all how educated and intelligent he is, and how all of our acharyas are educated and intelligent, but specifically Rupa Goswami. So today we're going to go on to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda. So now we're continuing with the fourth chapter of the Adi Leela, and this is a chapter about the esoteric reasons for the Lord's advent. That means his own personal reasons, just to reiterate what that means, that there are exoteric reasons and esoteric reasons. And exoteric reasons are the apparent reasons that everybody understands, not hidden reasons, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes down to teach the Sankirtan movement. And the esoteric reasons are reasons like Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, and he wants to understand the love that Radharani has for him. He wants to see himself from her perspective, and he wants to have the enjoyment that Srimati Radharani has by worshiping him. So now we're talking about the esoteric reasons for the Lord's advent. And one of the exoteric reasons, apparent reasons, was actually Advaita Acharya worshiping the Ganges by offering tulsi leaf and a little water back to the Ganges River. That's another exoteric reason. But esoterically, the Lord always comes down to enjoy ras, different types of ras. Ras means a taste for different types of relationships. Okay, so let's continue with texts 21 to 22, and as we've been doing the last few days, we're going to give some of you an opportunity to read too. After I finish with my segment of reading, just let me. Okay, and if you're interested in reading, raise your hands. If you don't know how to, don't raise your hands on the video because I'm not going to see that. You raise your hands on the participant windows. Okay, so let's continue. Moraputra Mora Saka Mora Pranapati Evave More Kareshuda Bhakti Apanate Baramane Amare Samahina Sevave Hai Ami Tahara Adina. So translation is, if one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great, and considering me as equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. So of course, this is the type of love that the devotees experience in Braj. Outside of Braj, the Lord is superior, and you are inferior to him. But in Braj, the Lord is inferior. He is your son, or he is your good friend, or equal at least, or he is your lover. Actually, there are some superior relationships, like when one is a servant of the Lord in Braj. But generally, Krishna is most pleased when one takes a superior position to him and controls him by their love. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are three kinds of devotional service are described, namely bhakti, which is ordinary devotional service, which I wish I had, shuddha bhakti, pure devotional service, which I wish I had, and vidha bhakti, mixed devotional service, Not that I wish I had that. Don't want mixed. When devotional service is executed with some material purpose involving fruitive activities, mental speculations, or mystic yoga, it is called mixed or adulterated devotional service. Besides bhakti yoga, the Bhagavad Gita also describes karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga. Yoga means linking with the Supreme Lord, which is possible only through devotion. Fruitive activities ending in devotional service, philosophical speculation ending in devotional service, and the practice of mysticism ending in devotional service are known respectively as what? Karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga. But such devotional service is adulterated by the three kinds of material activities. In other words, there is some other desire. And of course, these other desires are thrown out by Rupa Goswami in the nutshell verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakaram anavritam. Anukul yena krishnanu shivanam bhaktu utamam. He says, shunya, they are void of any other motivation other than to serve Krishna the way he wants to be served enthusiastically. For those grossly engaged in identifying the body as the self, pious activity or karma yoga is recommended. For those who identify the mind with the self, philosophical speculation or jnana yoga is recommended. But devotees standing on the spiritual platform have no need for such material conceptions of adulterated devotion. Adulterated devotional service does not directly aim for love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, service performed strictly in conformity with the revealed scriptures is better than such vidha bhakti, that means mixed bhakti, because it is free from all kinds of material contamination. It is executed in Krishna consciousness solely to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are spontaneously devoted to the Lord and have no aims for material gain are called attracted devotees. They are spontaneously attracted to the service of the Lord and they follow in the footsteps of self-realized souls. Their pure devotion, shuddha bhakti, is manifested from pure love of Godhead, surpasses the regulated principles of authoritative scriptures. Sometimes loving ecstasy transcends regulated principles. Such ecstasy, however, is completely on the spiritual platform and cannot be imitated. The regulative principles help ordinary devotees rise to the stage of perfect love of Godhead. Pure love for Krishna is the perfection of pure devotion, and pure devotional service is identical with spontaneous devotional service. Flawless execution of regulative principles is exhibited in the Vaikuntha planets. By strictly executing these principles, one can be elevated to the Vaikuntha planets. But spontaneous, pure, loving service is found in Krishna Loka alone. So next text. Mai bhaktirivutanam amritatvaya kalpate jushayadasin matsneho Devotional service rendered to me by the living beings revives their eternal life. My dear damsels of Braja, that's the gopis, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you have obtained my favor. Purport. Pure devotional service is represented in the activities of the residents of Brajabhumi, Vrindavana. During the solar eclipse, the Lord came from Dwarka and met the inhabitants of Vrindavan at Samanta Panchaka. The meeting was intensely painful for the damsels of Brajabhumi because Lord Krishna had apparently left them to reside at Dwarka. But the Lord obligingly acknowledged the pure devotional service of the damsels of Braja by speaking this verse. It's from the 10th canto, 82nd chapter, text 44. Matamore putrabhave karena bandan atihina gyane kare lalana palan. Mother sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. Sakashura sakye kare skande arohan tumi kon badaloka tumi ami sam. My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. Yayadi manakari kareye vartsan vedastuti haiti hri se moraman. If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. So purport. According to the Upanishads, all living entities are dependent on the Supreme Living Entity, the Personality of Godhead. As it is said in the Katha Upanishad 2.2.13, Nicho nichanam chitanas chitananam ego vahanam yovidadati kaman. One eternal living entity supports all the other eternal living entities because they remain subordinate. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead maintains all other living entities, they remain subordinate to the Lord even when they join with him in the reciprocation of loving affairs. But in the course of exchanging transcendental love of the highest purity, sometimes the subordinate devotee tries to predominate over the predominator, that's Krishna. One who lovingly engages with the Supreme Lord as if he were his mother or father sometimes supersedes the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, his fiancé or lover sometimes supersedes the position of the Lord. But such attempts are exhibitions of the highest love. Only out of pure love does the subordinate lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead chide him. The Lord, enjoying this chiding, takes it very nicely. The exhibition of natural love makes such activities very enjoyable. In worship of the Supreme Lord with veneration, there is no manifestation of such natural love because the devotee considers the Lord to be his superior. Wow. Regulative principles in devotional service are meant for those who have not invoked their natural love of Godhead. When natural love arises, all regulative methods are surpassed, and pure love is exhibited between the Lord and the devotee. Although on such a platform of love, the devotee sometimes appears to predominate over the Lord or transgress regulative principles. That doesn't mean he breaks the four regulative principles. Now we're talking about the principles of etiquette. Like in serving the Lord, one time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant Govinda had to step over the Lord in order to serve him. So that's a transgression. But it was done out of love. We're not talking about the regulative principles or becoming a demon or anything like that. Such dealings are far more advanced than ordinary dealings through regulative principles on veneration. A devotee who is actually free from all designations due to a complete attachment and love for the Supreme exhibits spontaneous love for Godhead, which is always superior to the devotion of regulative principles. The informal language used between lover and beloved is indicative of pure affection. When devotees worship their beloved as the most venerable object, spontaneous loving sentiments are observed to be lacking. In other words, when you worship someone, there's no spontaneous loving intimate symptoms. A neophyte devotee who follows the Vedic instructions that regulate those who lack pure love of Godhead may superficially seem more exalted than a devotee in spontaneous love of Godhead. But in fact, such spontaneous pure love is far superior to regulated devotional service. Such pure love of God is always glorious in all respects, more so than reverential devotional service rendered by a less affectionate devotee. And as I mentioned before, that doesn't mean that we should try to jump up to a platform that we're not at and renounce our regulation in devotional service. It is extremamente important to recognize, be introspective enough to know where you're at in devotional service, to understand what anarthas are still there. Anarthas means unwanted things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and all those other nice things. To understand that, to understand where one is lacking. And that way, one will be humble. In fact, a real devotee thinks that he or she has no devotion. And a real devotee is very, very, very careful in dealing with this material world. Because unless you are very, very careful, you will succumb to the allurements of Krishna's illusory energy. Even if you're on a very high platform of devotional service, there's every chance of falling down. Unless you are on the platform of pure devotional service, prema. But any other platform of devotional service carries with it the potential for deviation, even up to bhava, which is preliminary, the final stage, preliminary before prema. Because we have the example of Bharat Maharaj. He was on the platform of bhava, and he fell down due to inattention, not attachment to a deer. So we don't want to become attached to a deer, nor a cat, or a dog, nor any mundane type of relationship. Okay, so on that happy note, maybe I'll read a little more. Text 27 to 28. Eshudavakta lana karimu avatara kariva vividha vidha adbhuta vihara vaikunthadye nahi ye ye lilara prachara se se lila karive yate mora chamatkara. Taking these pure devotees with me, I shall descend, this is Lord Chaitanya speaking, Krishna speaking, and sport in various wonderful ways unknown even in Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I, that's Krishna, am amazed. Purport. Lord Krishna, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, educates his devotees to develop progressively to the stage of pure devotional service. Thus he appears periodically as a devotee to take part in various wonderful activities depicted in his sublime philosophy and teachings. Periodically means once in a day of Lord Brahma. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky, and in all of them the Lord accepts the service rendered by his eternal devotees in a reverential mood. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna presents his most confidential pastimes as he enjoys them in his transcendental realm. Such pastimes are so attractive that they attract even the Lord, and thus he relishes them in the form of Lord Chaitanya. In other words, Krishna becomes attracted to his pastimes. And Krishna understands that the devotees are enjoying and relishing things that even he himself doesn't relish. So therefore, he becomes anxious and attracted and appears as Lord Chaitanya. That's Lord Chaitanya is Krishna's greatest devotee, but he's also Krishna. Because he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Okay, so next we'll allow some devotees. Vijaya Radhika, you're allowed to unmute yourself now. You can read.
Pranam Gurudev, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Movish Adi Lila 4.29. Movishaya Gopi Ganera upapadi bhave yoga maya kari beke apana prabhave. Translation: the influence of yoga maya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour. Purport: yoga maya is the name of the internal potency that makes the Lord forget himself and become an object of love for his pure devotee in different transcendental mellows. This yoga maya potency creates a spiritual sentiment in the minds of the damsels of Raja by which they think of Lord Krishna as their paramour. This sentiment is never to be compared to mundane illicit sexual love. It has nothing to do with sexual psychology. Although the pure love of such devotees seem to be sexual, one should know for certain that nothing can exist in this cosmic manifestation that has no real counterpart in the spiritual field. All material manifestations are emanations of the transcendence. The erotic principles of amorous love reflected in mixed material values are perverted reflections of the reality of spirit. But one cannot understand the reality unless one is sufficiently educated in the spiritual science. Text 30. Amiha na janitaha na jane gopigana dunhara bhagruna dunhara nitya hare mana. Translation: neither the gopis nor I shall notice this, for our minds will always be entranced by one another's beauty and qualities. Purport: in the spiritual sky, the Vaikuntha planets are predominated by Narayana. His devotees have the same features he does, and the exchange of devotion there is on the platform of reverence. But above all these Vaikuntha planets is Goloka or Krishna Loka, where the original personality of Godhead Krishna fully manifests his pleasure potency in free loving affairs. Since the devotees in the material world know almost nothing about these affairs, the Lord desires to show these affairs to them. In Goloka Vrindavana, there is an exchange of love known as Parakriya Rasa. It is something like the attraction of a married woman for a man other than her husband. In the material world, this sort of relationship is most abominable because it is perverted reflection of the Parakriya Rasa in the spiritual world, where it is the highest kind of loving affair. Such feelings between the devotee and the Lord are presented by the influence of Yoga Maya. The Bhagavad Gita states that devotees of the highest grade are under the care of Daiva Maya or Yoga Maya. Mahatmanastu Mam Partha Daivim Prakritim Ashrita, Bhagavad Gita 9.13. Those who are actually great souls, Mahatmas are fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, always engaged in the service of the Lord. They are under the care of Daiva Prakriti or Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya creates a situation in which the devotees is prepared to transgress all regulative principles simply to love Krishna. A devotee naturally does not like to transgress the laws of reverence for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But by the influence of Yoga Maya, he is prepared to do anything to love the Supreme Lord better. Those under the spell of the material energy cannot at all appreciate the activities of Yoga Maya. For a conditioned soul can hardly understand the pure reciprocation between the Lord and his devotee. But by executing devotional service under the regulative principles, one can become very highly elevated and then begin to appreciate the dealings of pure love under the management of Yoga Maya. In the spiritual loving sentiment induced by the Yoga Maya potency, both Lord Sri Krishna and the damsels of Raja forget themselves in spiritual rapture. By the influence of such forgetfulness, the attractive beauty of the gopis plays a prominent part in the transcendental satisfaction of the Lord, who has nothing to do with mundane sex. Because spiritual love of Godhead is above everything mundane, the gopis superficially seem to transgress the codes of mundane morality. This perpetually puzzles mundane moralists. Therefore, Yoga Maya acts to cover the Lord and his pastimes from the eyes of the mundaners, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.25, where the Lord says that he reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. The acts of Yogamaya make it possible for the Lord and the gopis in loving ecstasy to sometimes meet and sometimes separate. These transcendental loving affairs of the Lord are unimaginable to empiricists involved in the impersonal feature of the absolute truth. Therefore, the Lord himself appears before the mundaners to bestow upon them the highest form of spiritual realization and also personally relish its essence. The Lord is so merciful that he himself descends to take the fallen souls back home to the kingdom of Godhead, where the erotic principles of Godhead are eternally relished in their real form. Distinct from the perverted sexual love, so much adored and indulged in by the fallen souls in this diseased condition. The reason of the Lord displays the Rasa Leela is essentially to induce all the fallen souls to give up their diseased morality and religiosity and to attract them to the kingdom of God to enjoy the reality. A person who actually understands what the Rasa Leela is will certainly hate to indulge in mundane sex life. For the realized soul, hearing the Lord's Rasa Leela through the proper channel will result in complete abstinence from material sexual pleasure. Can I continue?
Let me comment. Wait, stop for a second. I just want to comment on that, because Prabhupada was asked several times, you know, how to conquer the sex desire in this material world. And, you know, devotees would come up with so many material adjustments and means. In fact, there was one devotee who published a book, The Joy of No Sex. And that devotee actually later fell down. But anyway, he published this particular book, and he was prescribing methods like immersing yourself in ice cubes, which I guess helps you get a little detached from this material world. But that's not what Prabhupada prescribed. Actually, Prabhupada prescribed several different things for relieving ourselves from this particular itching sensation, as Prabhupada called it. One method was deity worship. Because when we worship the deities, we see the transcendental form of the deities, we actually become attracted to Krishna's form, which is completely transcendental. And we know Raso Varjam, Raso Pyasha, Paragrishna, Nivartite. By being attracted to Krishna's form, we lose attraction for things of this material world. As Rupa Goswami says in a sarcastic verse, if you all at all desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love in this world, don't go to see Krishna playing on his flute in the banks of the Keshi Ghat. So that's one method Prabhupada gave. Another method is to hear about Krishna's pastimes. And of course, that's borne out by Lord Vrishabhadeva's verse. Not Rishabhadev, but Lord Kapiladev's verse, Satam Prasangan Mama Virya Sampada Bhavanti Vinkarna Rasayana Katad, Jajoshanadashu Apavarga Vardmani, that one will proceed on the path of liberation or freedom from these material allurements by engaging in Satam Prasangan Mama Virya Sampada, hearing and chanting about Krishna's wonderful activities. But the key is, as Prabhupada said, hearing about the Lord's Rasa Leela through the proper channel. That means through the proper or from the proper person. And if one doesn't hear from the proper person, one will not become purified, one will become putrefied, because one will project their own material or mundane understanding upon the Lord's pastimes, and it may stimulate one to be more attracted to this material sexual pleasure, as Prabhupada said. So one has to really be careful about this particular point, because many people consider themselves to be more advanced than they actually are, and they concentrate on the Lord's pastimes. Just like when Prabhupada was in Los Angeles one time, there was a group of devotees calling themselves the Gopi Baba Club. And their theme song was Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. And they would talk about Shiva Rupa Goswami in his eternal form as Rupa Manjari, and talk about the intimate pastimes of Radha Krishna. And they would pick and choose which sections of the Chaitanya Charitamrita to read and use this as an excuse or as a justification, even when they were talking to Prabhupada for their nefarious activities. In fact, Prabhupada chastised them very, very heavily for delving into matters that they actually were not qualified or didn't have the adhikar or the right to delve into. And they argued with Prabhupada. And even later on, they said, well, Prabhupada just said that to them because Prabhupada wanted to impress the sannyasis who were listening at the same time. But Prabhupada said that even though these devotees were reading parts of his, that is Prabhupada's books, they were getting putrefied because Prabhupada's books have to be applied properly, not out of context, but properly and given by the proper person and read at the proper time, place, and circumstance when one is actually advanced enough to understand certain things. Like Prabhupada gave the example of a drugstore, what Prabhupada called the pharmacopoeia, which means there's many drugs in the drugstore, and hopefully every drug is useful and good, but each and every drug has to be prescribed by the proper pharmacist or proper physician for the proper time, place, and circumstance, or else it can have deadly effects. All right, let's see, what time is it now? All right, let's go on to the next person. Thank you very much, Vijay Radhika. And now we'll go to Jaya Radhika. From Vijay Radhika to Jaya Radhika. All right, you can unmute yourself, Jaya Radhika.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my
humble. Now you got to be a little louder. I can hear you, but you got to be louder.
Okay.
To everybody else. Because I can turn up my volume, but I don't know if everybody else can.
Okay. Text 31. Am I loud enough?
You need to be a little louder for everybody else. For me, like I said, I can adjust my volume.
Okay. Text 31. Dharma chade rage duhe kare amelan. Kabo mele, kabo na mele, daiva gata. Translation. Pure attachment will unite us even at the expense of moral and religious duties, dharma. Destiny will sometimes bring us together and sometimes separate us. Purport. The gopis came out to meet Krishna in the dead of night when they heard the sound of his flute. Srila Rupa Goswami has accordingly composed a nice verse, see Adilila 5.224, that describes a beautiful boy called Govinda standing by the bank of the Yamuna with his flute to his lips in the shining moonlight. Those who want to enjoy life in the materialistic way of society, friendship, and love should not go to the Yamuna to see the form of Govinda. The sound of the Lord Krishna's flute is so sweet that it has made the gopis forget all about their relationships with their kinsmen and flee to Krishna in dead of night. By leaving home in that way, the gopis transgress the Vedic regulations of household life. This indicates that when natural feeling of love for Krishna become fully manifest, a devotee can neglect conventional social rules and regulations. In the material world, we are situated in the dignitive positions only, but pure devotional service begins when one is freed from all designations. When love for Krishna is awakened, that designative positions are overcome. The spontaneous attraction of Sri Krishna for his deity's parts and parcels generates an enthusiasm that obliges Sri Krishna and the gopis to meet together. To celebrate this transcendental enthusiasm, there is need of a sentiment of separation between the lover and beloved. In the condition of material tribulation, no one wants the pangs of separation. But in the transcendental form, the very same separation, being absolute in its nature, strengthens the tie of love and enhances the desire of the lover and beloved to meet. The period of separation evaluates transcendentally is more relishable than the actual meeting, which lacks the feelings of increasing anticipation because the lover and beloved are both present. Text 32. Esava rasa niryasa kareva ashavad edware kareva sava bhaktere prasad. Translation. I shall taste the essence of all these races, and in this way I shall favor all the devotees. Text 33. Vrajera nirmala raga sune bhaktagan raga marge bhajayena chadeya dharma karma. Translation. Then by hearing about the pure love of the residents of Braja, devotees will worship me on the path of spontaneous love, abandoning all rituals of religiosity and fruitive activity. Purport. Many realized souls such as Raghunatha Das Goswami and King Kulishekara have recommended with great emphasis that one develop this spontaneous love of Godhead, even at the risk of transgressing all the transcendental codes of morality and religiosity. Sri Raghunatha Das Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavana, has written in his prayer called the Manasiksha that one should simply worship Radha and Krishna with all attention. Na dharmam. Shruti Gana Nirukatam Kela Kuru. One should not be much interested in performing Vedic rituals or simply following rules and regulations. King Kulukeshekara has written similarly in his book Mukhanda Mala Shrota. 5. Nasta Dharmena Vasu Nichay Naiva Kamo Pa Bhoge Yad bhavayam tad bhavatu bhagavan purva karmanu rupam yatat pratayam mama bahu matam janma janmantarepi tuvat padam boru ayuga gata nishchala bhakti rastu. I have no attraction for performing religious rituals or holding any earthly kingdom. I do not care for sense enjoyment. Let them appear and disappear in accordance with my previous deeds. My only desire is to be fixed in devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord, even though I may continue to take birth here life after life. Text 34. Anugraya bhaktanam Manusham deham ashrita bhajante tadrishra kirida yashrutva tatparo bhava. Translation. Krishna manifests his eternal human-like form and performs his pastimes to show mercy to the devotees. Having had such pastimes, one should engage in service to him. Purport. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 33, Text Number 36. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable expansions of his transcendental form, who eternally exist in the spiritual world. This material world is only a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, where everything is manifested without inebriety. There, everything is in its original existence, free from the domination of time. Time cannot deteriorate or interfere with the conditions in the spiritual world, where different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the recipients of the worship of different living entities in their constitutional spiritual positions. In the spiritual world, all existence is unadulterated goodness. The goodness found in the material world is contaminated by the modes of passion and ignorance. The saying that the human form of life is the best position for devotional service has its special significance, because only in this form can a living entity revive his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The human form is considered the highest state in the cycle of the species of life in the material world. If one takes advantage of this highest kind of material form, one can regain his position of devotional service to the Lord. Incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear in all the species of life, although this is inconceivable to human brain. The Lord's pastimes are differentiated according to the appreciating capacity of the different types of the bodies of the living entities. The Supreme Lord bestows the most merciful benediction upon human society when he appears in his human form. It is then the humanity gets the opportunity to engage in different kinds of eternal service to the Lord.
Why don't you stop here? It's a long purport. I just want to give another person an opportunity to read. The next person is Pranam Govinda. But before Pranam Govinda starts, I just want to mention that we find all these injunctions about not following the rules and regulations, transcending the rules and regulations. Never even think like that unless you get permission from the spiritual master to do that. Advanced devotees to do. Don't even think like that. Unless you're a pure devotee, don't even think of that. Because it's not a good idea. All right. Anyway, one has to function according to what's called one's adhikar. Adhikar means one's right to perform a certain type of devotional service or a certain type of activity. Okay, next is Pran Govinda. You can read for a few minutes. Shall we take questions?
Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, all goes to Prabhupada.
Anyway.
Incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear in all the species of life, although this is inconceivable to the human brain. The Lord's pastimes are differentiated according to the appreciating capacity of the different types of bodies of the living entities.
I think you skipped.
Did I?
You're right. Okay.
The Supreme Lord bestows the most merciful benediction upon human society when he appears in his human form. It is then that humanity gets the opportunity to engage in different kinds of eternal service to the Lord. Special natural appreciation of the description of a particular pastimes of Godhead indicates the constitutional position of a living entity. Adoration, servitorship, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love are the five primary relationships with Krishna. The highest perfectional stage of the conjugal relationship, enriched by many sentiments, gives the maximum relishable mellow to the devotees. The Lord appears in different incarnations as a fish, tortoise, and boar, as Parashuram, Lord Ram, Buddha, and so on, to reciprocate the different appreciations of living entities in different stages of evolution. The conjugal relationship of amorous love called Parokya Rasa is the unparalleled perfection of love exhibited by Lord Krishna and his devotees. A class of so-called devotees known as Sahajiyas try to imitate the Lord's pastimes, although they have no understanding of the amorous love in his expansions of pleasure potency. Their superficial imitation can create havoc on the path for the advancement of one's spiritual relationship with the Lord. Material sexual indulgence can never be equated with spiritual love, which is an unadulterated goodness. The activities of the Sahajiyas simply lower one deeper into the material contamination of the senses and mind. Krishna's transcendental pastimes display eternal servitorship to Adakshaja, the Supreme Lord, who is beyond all conception through material senses. Materialistic conditioned soul do not understand the transcendental exchanges of love, but they like to indulge in sense gratification in the name of devotional service. The activities of the Supreme Lord can never be understood by irresponsible persons who think the pastimes of Radha and Krishna to be ordinary affairs. The Rasa dance is arranged by Krishna's internal potency, Yogamaya. It is beyond the grasp of the materially affected person. Trying to throw mud into transcendence with their perversity, the Sahajiyas misinterpret the saying Tat Paratena Nirmalam and Tat Paro Bhavet. By misinterpreting Tadrishi Krida, they want to indulge in sex while pretending to imitate Lord Krishna. But one must actually understand the imports of the words through the intelligence of the authorized Goswamis. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, in his prayers to the Goswamis, has explained his inability to understand such spiritual affairs. When I shall be eager to understand the literature given by the Goswamis, then I shall be able to understand the transcendental love affairs of Radha and Krishna. In other words, unless one is trained under the disciplic succession of the Goswamis, one cannot understand Radha and Krishna. The conditioned souls are naturally averse to understanding the spiritual existence of the Lord. And if they try to know the transcendental nature of the Lord's pastime while they remain absorbed in materialism, they are sure to blunder like the Sahajiyas.
Okay, we'll stop right there and we'll take some questions. Let you ask your questions 1 second. Okay, so everybody can unmute yourselves if you like and ask a question. Yeah.
I'd like to ask about Kali Yuga and Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya appearing in this one day, one time in the day of Lord Brahma. That leaves 999 other Kali Yugas with no Sri Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what is the situation?
That's more than 999 other Kali Yugas.
Well, in each day.
In each day, there's Sahasra Yuga Paryantam. Yeah, 1,000. Yes, right, 1,000.
So every single day of Lord Brahma, 999 Kali Yugas come. And Krishna doesn't appear directly and Lord Chaitanya doesn't appear directly. So what is the situation for the living entities that are in the universe at that time?
They get other incarnations of God. As Prabhupada describes here, and as the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Rupa Goswami describe, that Krishna has Bhagavatam describes, Krishna has as many incarnations as there are waves in the ocean. They're coming one after the other. So they're attracted to other expansions of the Lord. And also they may have information, too, in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the original personality of God and Krishna. But we are very fortunate because we are in the one time during the... during this day when Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So we're very fortunate. But yes, the Yuga Dharma... in Kali Yuga is Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Gaur Narayan. Who's Gaur Narayan?
This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Maharaj.
Gaur Narayan. I never heard of Gaur Narayan, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it, yes. But Gauranga only appears once in, Lord Chaitanya only appears once in a day of Lord Brahma. So, but they always get the opportunity to do Krishna Nam Sankirtan in Kali Yuga. That's the Yuga Dharma. So you're fortunate. Why aren't you taking advantage? Huh? Gopal?
I have no answer.
That question?
I cannot.
You can't answer that question.
In the previous yuga, Tirupati Balaji has come in Kali Yuga, the previous age.
Previous? Well, that's nice, Tirupati Balaji. So So there's always an incarnation. Now, I've never heard of Gaur Narayan before, but if Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that, that's true. So in every yuga, there's a yuga avatar who teaches the yuga dharma. So Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nama Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Vada Naihe, Tarva Bhartana. So, who else has a question?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, this is Rishikesh.
Rishikesh.
Gurudev, I have a question.
Namaha. Namo Narayanaya Namaha. Namo Narayanaya Namaha. Om Vaikunthaya Namaha.
Aham Brahmosmi.
All right. So, what question do you have?
I was wondering, you know, Gurudev, unless I am free from material lusty desires, I'm really not qualified to hear Rasa Leela on the confidential pastimes of the Lord. But unless I hear this confidential pastimes, I will never get relief from lusty desires. So how do I crack this?
By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada is giving us these different pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada's followers are giving us these pastimes of Radha Krishna in such a form that if we take that particular form properly, we won't get bewildered. If we take the instructions and the descriptions that Prabhupada has given us in context, in other words, reading the purports and explanations at the same time we read about the pastimes. For example, right now, we are reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Krishna stealing the clothes of the gopis. And if we were just to read the verses, the devotees would get bewildered. But because we are fortunate enough to have the purports written by Prabhupada's followers, because Prabhupada didn't get this far in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but written by Prabhupada's followers that are more or less summarizing the purports of the previous acharyas, we are protected. But if we try to approach directly without the purports, explanations of the previous acharyas, and whenever possible, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, then we will get bewildered. So we're actually protected. We're given special adhikar, special permission or a special right to approach these subject matters, even though we're not qualified.
Thank you.
So you were very fortunate. But yes, Prabhupada did not appreciate it if devotees jumped to different books other than books that were presented by him or by his followers, because Prabhupada wanted us to protect us from these misunderstandings, the sahaja tendency. And we find nowadays, of course, many devotees without the proper adhikar are jumping to more intimate literatures, you know, reading Govinda, Lilamrita. I'm not saying that devotees shouldn't ultimately read these things, because Prabhupada said we should read the books of the previous acharyas. However, you know, Ujjalini Lamani, for example, however, one should really have a firm understanding of Prabhupada's teachings and actually be qualified before going to these other literatures, or else one can become bewildered. So first become expert in Srila Prabhupada's books and Srila Prabhupada's explanations and the explanations given by his disciples in the published editions of the BBT books. So in this way, you'll be protected in spite of having so many like impediments or anarthas at the present time.
Thank so you, Gurudev. That's
the secret. So yeah, don't become reluctant to read Krishna book because you're not qualified. However, when you read Krishna book, you should also read chapters like the prayers of the personified Vedas, which deal with philosophy. I remember when I was first a devotee, we would read the Krishna book, and we get to that chapter and think, oh, maybe we should skip that chapter. There's no nectar in that chapter. And actually, you know, for the conditioned soul, it may not appear nectarian. Don't worry, I won't say nectarine. It may not appear nectarian for the conditioned soul. But for those who are elevated, it's very nectarian. Or, for example, if you read Srila Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha, it may not appear like nectar. Tattva Sandarbha deals with what we call epistemology. In other words, the science of how do you know what you know. So it may appear like, you know, oh my God, so much philosophy. I got to hear about why do I know or how do I know, what do I know. And if you're considering that to be, let us say, difficult to read, not in the sense of difficult to understand, but just like boring, that means you're really not qualified to read the nectar. It's all nectar, because these are the words of the sages. Actually, the statement goes that within the words of a pure devotee, or the sound vibration coming from the mouth of a pure devotee, the saffron dust particles of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's lotus feet. So even the philosophical explanations or prayers of the personified Vedas, try reading that chapter. And if you're not experiencing happiness by reading it, that means that there's something lacking. But if you're thinking, you know, the real nectar, you know, I know the philosophy. If you're not experiencing happiness by reading the Bhagavad Gita, that means you're not on a very elevated platform. You're thinking, yeah, Bhagavad Gita, but I really want to read some nectar, you know, like Krishna kissing the gopis or whatever else Krishna does with the gopis. Then there's something off there. There's something off. I mean, Krishna himself took time to speak the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna could have had someone else speak it. It would have been called the another Gita, you know. But anyway, it could have been the same philosophy. It could have been spoken by someone else. Of course, it wouldn't have been called the Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna, and we find that at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, we have Sanjaya is experiencing ecstasy hearing the Bhagavad Gita, and Vyasadeva, who knows all about the intimate pastimes of the Lord, was experiencing ecstasy and presenting all the Vedic literature, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. So if one is considering something to be ecstatic and something else to not be ecstatic, then one should really question one's motive or one's level of spiritual understanding. I hope that makes sense.
Thank you, Guru. Yes. Thank you so much.
So we should relish everything Prabhupada says. I mean, just like every morning when I do my deity worship, I'm listening to Prabhupada's conversation. Generally, it's a conversation or a morning walk or something like that. And it's extremely rare for Prabhupada to talk about the gopis on his morning walks. You know, especially his arguments with Mr. Nair. Not Mr. Nair, Mr. N, sorry. Mr. Patel, sorry, Mr. Patel, got me wrong. Especially his arguments with Mr. Patel in the beach in Mumbai. They're nectarian.
He was our family doctor, Gurdjieff.
What? He was what?
Dr. Patel was our family doctor.
He was what? He was your family doctor?
Yes, Gurudev. My father is to go with, take treatment from him.
Mr. Patel?
Yeah.
Really?
Chatur Bhai Patel. Yeah, that's his name.
Really?
Yes, Gurudev.
Wow.
I just came to know when I thought, you know, this must be different Patel, but then I saw his picture, then I came to know, yeah, he's the same person.
Did you actually see him yourself?
No, I was very young, Gurudev. I was like 6-7 years. But so all my treated, mother, father.
He probably treated you too, right? When you were 6 years.
Yeah, a little bit, yes. That's I took all the vaccination shots from him. On my vaccination, my baby shots were given by him.
Wow. And you were vaccinated by him?
Yes, Gurudev, yeah. I mean, he was, for everything, we'll just go to him. He was very nearby to our home in Andheri.
Who beat you up?
No, Gurudev. His dispensary was in Andheri near the railway station.
Oh, near the railway station.
Near the railway station.
So he would commute every day to the railway station.
Yeah, probably, yeah, you're right, yeah.
So by his mercy, because Prabhupada came in contact with him and you came in contact with Mr. Patel, then you're a devotee today by the mercy of Mr. Patel.
He was very, I can say, not very palatable to talk to. He was very, not very pleasant to talk to. Very harsh.
Yeah, he was very harsh with Prabhupada too. Prabhupada really had to chastise.
For everyone, even for my father also, I mean, he was very harsh. He got scared to talk to him.
Really? That's interesting information. All right. I think on that note, we'll end. We'll see everybody. See everybody tomorrow evening, same time, same station. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda.